Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 16th of January, 2022. And you join us today as we begin a new series. Last week, we introduced a series about living in exile. And today we're going to look at a concrete example of someone who was able to live in exile and yet flourish and find blessing with God. And that is the prophet Daniel. And we're going to be looking at Daniel over the next few weeks together. Just one announcement today. Free will offering envelopes are available in church. And if you have free will offering envelopes, you can collect them there. And if you don't have free will offering envelopes and would like them, then please speak to me and we'll make sure that we can get those for you. So let's worship together and let's praise God together. And in Matthew, we read about, we read the words of Jesus, and in various different places in Matthew, we read these words: "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So let's turn to God in prayer today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to you today, we thank you for these words from our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to live lives that are righteous and holy. And Lord, whenever we look at the example of Daniel, we see someone who was faithful, who kept your commands, who lived a blameless life for you. And Lord, whenever we try to emulate that, we realize how far we fall short. And therefore, we come to you today asking, Lord, for your forgiveness. And we come, Lord, asking that Jesus Christ would stand in our place and would live the righteous life that we are unable to. And therefore, we trust in Jesus and we come to him today. Forgive us, Lord, for our failings, we pray. Help us day by day as we seek to serve you and follow you. And Lord, may we always be witnesses for you and for your kingdom. Amen. So today, as we come to the book of Daniel, I want you to imagine the scene. You are living happily in the place of your choice. Life is good, it's comfortable, and it's happy and predictable. But then war suddenly breaks out, and a totally unexpected defeat comes at the hands of a foreign power. Ground troops invade the country that you thought was yours, swooping across the land like ravenous locusts. Terror grips you as you watch the doom-laden news flashes because the headlines appear to be apocalyptic. Rumours abound about the brutality of the advancing soldiers who are rapidly approaching the area where you live. The dreaded day dawns. Enemy soldiers arrive, they pound on the door, they order you to pack your things, your home no longer belongs to you, not that you are going to be homeless, it looks worse than that, because you're going to be deported, shipped off to that foreign country, together with some other leaders and influential people from the community. All your plans, your hopes, your dreams, your whole life, all has been snatched from your grasp. Choices? You have none right now, and the horizon looks bleak. At last, you arrive in the place where you're going to be forced to settle and make your home. But it's an alien place where everything is unfamiliar. Again, you have no choice. Nobody is asking what you think if you like it here. You're just a commodity. You've been trafficked. You wonder, where is God in all of this? Is he here? Worse still, if he is here, does he care? 600 years before Christ, this is Daniel, and this is his experience. So let's read Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favour and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. And we pray that God will bless the reading of his word today. I want to ask today, what causes you to doubt your faith? What is it that can really shake your faith and cause you to ask questions? Maybe a severe illness. It could be the loss of a loved one. Maybe life not turning out the way that you expect it to. A judgmental comment from someone who should have known better. All these things can shake us in our belief and our faith. Maybe we've been in danger of abandoning our faith at some point in our lives. We have probably all seen someone else who has slipped away from their faith. Jeff Lucas writes about life's second choices. When we aren't living the life that we had planned, things haven't worked out the way that we expected them to work out, and we're left with a second choice life, or maybe even a third choice or a fourth choice life. I wonder, have you ever felt like that? If only I could go back and change that one thing, life would have been so much better. We are living our second choice life, as it were. Well, that is where we find Daniel. His first choice in life would be to be in Israel with his family and all his friends around him, living a carefree life. But Daniel has been captured. He's been taken to a foreign city and enrolled in a 3-year course that he had no interest in being on. As a teenager, he probably had plans. But here he is, living a very different life. He's learning a new language. He's learning a new history and a new culture, new literature. This is definitely a second choice life. And yet somehow, in this second choice life, Daniel thrives. God has a purpose for him that was missing in his first choice. So let's see if there is anything that we can discover about God in this story of Daniel, and anything that we can discover about ourselves as well. As we live in this world, increasingly there is a pressure to compromise. Daniel felt it. There were many things that he accepted in this whole re-education process. He may not have liked them, but he was prepared to accept them. But there was one thing that he was not prepared to compromise on. He was not going to eat the food and the wine that belonged to the king. It was the king's food, and for Daniel, there was no king but the Lord. And verse 8 is critical in this account. Daniel was under pressure to compromise, to do what everybody else in the training program was doing, to do what his new masters were asking him to do. But look at verse 8. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. You see, we will come under pressure to compromise. Maybe we'll be under pressure as Christians to look the other way, to accept something that we are uneasy about. And it's all too easy just to let it go and not to resolve to do something about it. Especially if we're trying to follow Jeremiah's advice. Jeremiah, remember last week, said in chapter 29, verse 7, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." So Daniel has this command to pray for Babylon and to seek its peace and prosperity. And here he is digging his heels in, as it were, and saying, "But I'm not prepared to do that." We may be tempted at times to think that compromise is our best option. And Daniel certainly felt that pressure to compromise. But Daniel shows us how we shouldn't buckle under the pressure. But he shows us how to be faithful. And there was a certain amount of preparation that went to Daniel that enabled him to be strong in this moment of compromise. I think there had been great preparation that had gone into his position. He didn't just arrive in Babylon and decide that he was going to be faithful. Being faithful was a way of life for Daniel. It was something that he had done from early childhood. It was, I suppose, something that had been set as an example by his parents. And it's very, very likely that Daniel grew up in a God-fearing home. and he was taken captive whenever he was in his early teens. And we're told in verses 6 and 7 about Daniel and his three friends and their names and how their names were changed by the Babylonians. You see, Daniel and his three friends all had names that pointed to the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. There were little bits in their names that referred to either Yahweh or Elohim, the God of Israel. And it's likely then that those names had been given to them by parents who knew God and feared God and wanted their children to grow up in the knowledge of God. So this initial preparation to not compromise began right at their birth with godly parents who cared for them and longed for them. It's vital that we decide today whom we will serve, so that whenever the pressure comes, we already know who we're trusting. We already have decided to be faithful. It's not whenever we face pressure that we make the choice, will I or won't I? We've made that choice long ago, and therefore the pressure is not as difficult to deal with whenever we've already made that decision. So that when the pressure comes, we already know who we're trusting and where we're going to look for our help. And the amazing thing about Daniel and his friends and the fact that they would not compromise on this food was that there was a tremendous power in being faithful. There was a power that came to Daniel and his friends that wasn't available to anyone else. Daniel had a powerful response to Ashpenaz. Look at how Daniel responds to his problem. And this is an example of how we can live in exile. If you remember last week, we were saying that there were two main approaches to living in exile when we don't agree with things. We can either resist them or accept them. Daniel could have resisted the food. Maybe organise a hunger strike, get everyone else involved and get over the seriousness of their position. They could have said, we're not eating the food, we don't want this food. Or, just like everyone else, he could have accepted the food and eaten it and nobody would have said anything to him. And I think all too often as Christians, we start to say no far too easily and don't provide an alternative. Or we just give in too easily and don't take a stand. To find an alternative approach requires a lot of hard work. It is often more difficult to implement. It's often open to misunderstanding. Daniel says, I don't want to eat the meat or drink the wine from the king. Just let me eat vegetables and then after 10 days, we'll see if there is any difference. So we have such wonderful alternatives as followers of Jesus Christ to offer the world, and yet often all they hear from us is no and protest. You know, think about it. Whenever it comes to abortion, we have the example of loving families who can look after children and can provide something positive. We have an alternative to offer the world that is struggling. Whenever it comes to marriage, we have the best possible guidance from God to make marriages work. And yet we settle for something less. And then we complain whenever the world tries to change it on us and redefine it. The power of being faithful is to keep God's commands. Live by his word, and when we come up against something that we don't like, we find a better alternative to offer the world and to present as coming from Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that whenever we do that, everyone will live happily ever after. Sometimes we will be misunderstood. Sometimes we will be worse off. But this is how we can live in exile. This is the power of being faithful to God. So let's look at this opening chapter and ask ourselves, where is God in the midst of all of this? Because as well as looking at the example of Daniel in this passage, it's also good to remind ourselves where we find God in this story. And what we find is that God is sovereign. We thought about this a couple of weeks ago at the start of the new year, and this is a major theme that runs right throughout the book of Daniel. God is in control, even in exile, or perhaps especially in exile. Whenever it looks as though Israel has been defeated, God is still in control. Nebuchadnezzar comes with his army to besiege Jerusalem. That's what we read in verse 1. But he doesn't take Jerusalem because he's got a bigger army or he has a better strategy. He is able to take Jerusalem because God gives it into his hand. God delivers them. The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Whenever Daniel is allowed to change his diet, it's not because he's got a really persuasive argument. It's because of God. Look at verse 9. Now God had caused the official to show favour and sympathy to Daniel. The four friends who are progressing in this training program have much more than anyone else in the program. They have taken to it better. They have understood more than anyone else. It's not because of the diet they're eating. It's because of God. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So even in exile, God is in control. Especially in exile, God is in control. God uses the foreign rulers to achieve his own ends. Yes, Daniel has an important part in all of it. We have an important part to play today in everything that's happening, but it's all happening because of God. So do not despair today. Just because we are living in a time of exile does not mean that God is defeated. Just because God's name is blasphemed does not mean he has disappeared. Just because the opposite of his word is being put into law each day does not mean that he is powerless. In fact, it shows even more of God's power that under these extreme circumstances, God still reigns and is in control. Now, if there's one thing that we've learnt to do with the Old Testament over the last 6 months, it is to look for Jesus in the stories. So where can we find Jesus in this particular story of Daniel? Well, if anyone can show us Jesus here, it is Daniel himself. Many times when this passage is preached, the message is, dare to be a Daniel. If we could only copy the example of Daniel, then we would be much more effective in the kingdom of heaven. But I don't know about you, but it's hard to be a Daniel. If you've ever tried to be a Daniel, you might succeed on one particular day at one particular time. But to keep up being a Daniel day after day and year after year is mighty difficult. It is basically impossible. So what does Daniel teach us? Well, he points us to Christ. Whenever we fail to be a Daniel, Daniel shows us what Jesus is like. As the sovereign Lord allowed Daniel to be taken from the promised land and into exile in sinful Babylon, so God the Father sent his Son from heaven into this sinful world. Daniel in Babylon was obedient to God with respect to food and drink. And when Jesus came, he was obedient to God in all things. God gave Daniel wisdom and skill. God gave Jesus that wisdom and skill. Remember whenever he went to the temple as a child? And in Luke 2, we're told, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. God guided Daniel to a place of great authority in Babylon. We're going to see over the next few chapters how he rose to being in the highest position in the land. God guided his son Jesus to a place of even greater authority. Philippians 2, we're told, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we feel we need a Daniel to take over and stand in our place, and that Daniel is Jesus Christ. He steps in with the perfect life that we could never live, and he offers it instead of our feeble attempts. And we trust in him rather than ourselves for success. So let's finish by just thinking for a moment about why we have been given this story of Daniel. If it's not so that we can just simply copy Daniel's witness, and if it's not there just to make us feel inadequate when compared to Daniel, why have we been given it? We have this story to remind us that our sovereign Lord will guide us even when we are living in exile, and also to remind us to be faithful whenever we live in exile. Our Lord is not just for the world to come. He's not just someone who will get us into heaven and then will be with us. He is with us now, this side of eternity. He will guide us every step of the way. And he does not require a special intellect. He doesn't require incredible talents. He asks us to be faithful. And if we are faithful, he will do the rest. So let's bow before him in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the example of Daniel, but we thank you most of all for our perfect Saviour who sets the perfect example for us. And Lord, whenever we fail, we simply trust in Jesus and we remember that you have all authority in heaven and earth and you are the only one who is to be obeyed. So, Lord, be with us now, we pray, and we ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this pre-record of the service on Sunday. Do remember you can join with us any week at 11 o'clock in Burnside, and you can join us on the live stream as well. And we'd be delighted to have you with us.